following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And by now, I guess you've heard it, so I'll just give you the quick I told you so's. I mean, I said that Robert Mueller did not want to testify, and then he looked in the camera and he said, if you get me there, I'm only going to repeat what's in the report. Although he fell far short of even that expectation, because he didn't even know what was in the report. It was incredible. Everybody and their mother, including the Democrats, heck, especially the Democrats, are calling this a disaster. So, the investigation into Russian collusion lasted, 2 years? And it came out to be nothing. In other words, they found that Donald Trump did not collude with Russia. And I would just like to tell you that for years, everybody thought that Donald Trump was Putin's puppet. But like he said on the campaign, no puppet, no puppet. And Robert Mueller, after all of those millions of dollars spent and all of those hours and hours, hundreds of witnesses, was not able to find anything. And you know, there was a big deal made because when the Mueller report was released, people were saying, well, Mueller did not exonerate Trump. He just said he couldn't find anything. Guys, that's the way that any investigative body is. You know, if I was looking on Twitter, and there was one remark that said, trying to defend this debacle. And the poster said, if you robbed a bank and nobody found out that you did it, does that mean you didn't rob a bank? And somebody else replied to that and said, if it was suspected that you robbed a bank and they put a team of 12 investigators and a lead and investigated you and spent $22 million investigating you and they couldn't find that you robbed the bank, you probably didn't rob the bank. And that's exactly the case here. Now, no investigative body ever finds the person innocent. That's not their job. They want to find out if they're guilty or not. And, you know, those aren't the same things. Now, I've been telling you for years, Trump did not collude with Russia. Is it possible he did? Yes. I wasn't personally there with Trump 24/7. So although in my mind it's pretty much impossible, yes, there's a possibility that it happened. There's a possibility of the sun not coming up tomorrow. But the possibility is so remote, it's not even worth thinking about. So when they investigated Trump and they couldn't find jack squat, not just on Russia, because you know if they found something else, they would have latched onto it. They didn't find anything. Now, some people say, well, they got, you know, the people surrounding Trump. Yeah, but they didn't get them with anything regarding of collusion, Trump's so-called collusion with Russia. They got them for other stupid charges. If I'm investigating you for, I don't know, what's a crime? Animal abuse, right? And I don't know why I picked that one. I think it's because I looked at my girl and she's a huge animal rights activist. But I'm investigating you for animal abuse, right? And I talked to your mother and I said to her, hey, when did you get your hair done? She goes, I got my hair done on Wednesday, right? And then I call her in under oath. And she looks at her records and she goes, oh, it's actually on Thursday that I got my hair done. I said, well, you lied about when you got your hair done. I'm putting you in jail. That has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you kick cats. It's a terrible analogy, but I think you get what I'm saying. At the start of a trial, doesn't the judge explain that it's not the responsibility to find the other person innocent? There just has to be a reasonable doubt about whether or not the crime was committed. So, you know, if they find somebody not guilty, that's different than finding them innocent. It's not the job of anybody to find you innocent or to exonerate you ever. And so they're playing with words. The Democrats here are playing with words. No investigative body is exonerating or proving innocent the person that they're investigating. So when Mueller says that he did not exonerate Trump, and when the report says this report does not exonerate Trump, the Democrats are trying to make it seem like that means that he must be secretly guilty. But, I mean, think about this. So then that would mean that Mueller is letting a guilty president just run around without telling anybody anything. Right? I mean, it's stupid. And if you watch the Mueller hearings, if you didn't or if you haven't heard about it, I don't know how you could not have heard about it. Everyone's been talking about it all week. But if you didn't hear about it, let me give you a quick summary, okay? So Mueller said he's not going to answer any damn questions. He says, I'm retired. Don't call me out of retirement. I'm not going to play ball. I'm going to, if you question me and if you have me appear in front of Congress, I'm just going to read what's in the report and that's it. No new information. You don't get anything. And then, so here's what, but they call him in. And I'm like, why would they do that? So I figured that what they were going to do was they were going to use Mueller basically as a soundboard, right? They were going to ask Mueller questions and use their time, as many Congress people do on both sides of the aisle, to basically put a little speech out about how terrible Trump is and then say to Mueller, hey, Mueller, do you exonerate Trump? No. And then he would say no, and then they would say, so that means that it's up to us to impeach this president, blah, 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 blah. So that's what I expected to happen, right? Dude, they couldn't even get their and I knew it was going to backfire on them, not because I expected Mueller to be so terrible, which, I mean, that was just a bonus, right? What I expected to happen was that the Republicans would then get a chance to say their piece. And because the Republicans are correct on this issue, I was sure that they were going to hammer Mueller and just, you know, make it obvious that it's not the job of anyone to be exonerated by a committee. And one of the congressmen did that. I don't remember who, and I would get you a sound clip, but again, you've probably heard it endlessly. And I heard that during the testimony. I was like, this guy is killing it. It's one of the more famous Congress people. I wish I could remember who it was. But anyway, he stressed that point. I was like, good, finally somebody, you know, got to it and said it. So now, you know, people watching that are going to understand the difference and what this terminology means. And I knew it was going to backfire on the Democrats because now you were going to let the Republicans have their say. You see, up to this point, the media has just been putting out the Democrats' propaganda, and they haven't really put any counterpoints. I mean, every day the media is like, Trump is bad, Trump is terrible. And I was sure that if they had this thing, that it was going to be a slam dunk for the Republicans, because they had nothing to lose. All they were going to get was more time to put their case in front of the public. But the Democrats already had their case in front of the public this entire time. So I don't know what they were thinking when they called them up. They had got as good as they could get. But, you know, they were saying, well, Bill Barr has put all these redactions out, and they kept holding on to the hope that the American public would buy that the Mueller report wasn't allowed to get out there somehow because of these redactions that are in the report, and that the real report, finally, the public would get to hear Mueller himself speak, and when that happened, finally, it'd be Mueller time. Right? Because, you know, remember when this all first started, the Democrats were so happy because Mueller was touted as James Comey's apprentice, basically. Or was it the other way around? But I can't remember. But basically, the two were supposed to be great friends, and Mueller was supposed to be very upset that Comey was fired ignominiously. And then he was going to extract revenge for this wrong that happened. And the t-shirts came out, it's Mueller time, and they couldn't wait. And then the report comes out, and it's a dud. And they said, the reason the report's a dud is because of all the redactions in the report. We need to get Mueller up there. We need to get Mueller to testify. And then Mueller comes out, and he says, hey, don't call me up there. All my findings are in the report. And that's that. And what do? Like an idiot, they couldn't take the hint. The Democrats could not take the hint. They always push it. And they always lose as a result. They always push it too far. Any issue, they take it too far. And they end up on the wrong end here. For the last, since 2015, they can't do anything right. After the last 4 or 5 years, they just, everything backfires on them. They're like Elmer Fudd, right? They're about to shoot their target. The Republicans come along. They turn the gun barrel in the other direction. The Democrats fire and it goes off in their face, right? It's hilarious. Is this not as funny as any Looney Tunes episode? This whole debacle? So they get Mueller up there, right? And you have to understand the mindset that the public has got of Mueller, the idea in their head of Mueller. Everybody on both sides of the aisle have built Mueller up to be of impeccable credential. He's a man's man, right? They have him on SNL being represented by Robert frickin' De Niro. And not only is it Robert De Niro, but it's a Robert De Niro in makeup to make his jaws even more square. So he is this rectangular-jawed superhero. And he's talking to Trump. He's like, you know, let me get a clip of an SNL appearance. I'm just going to play a quick little bit here. So you can get an idea of what the public's representation in their mind's eye was of Robert Mueller. So here's a short clip of Robert De Niro as Robert Mueller.
Oh, really? Hello, Mr. Trump. I've waited for this moment for a long time.
Mr. Mueller, I've been meaning to come to talk to you, but golf.
I have something for you.
Oh,
I know everything. Everything.
So just a quick couple of clips there. And you hear how forceful he sounds, how borderline threatening he sounds. There's another episode I remember where they had Donald Trump was trying to bribe Mueller with a room full of money. And Mueller refused to do it. He just wouldn't budge. And there's a whole bunch of them. You can just look them up on YouTube of how strong Mueller would come across in these skits. So, you know, this is how people would perceive him, especially when they would say how he was of impeccable, you know, moral fortitude and, you know, he was not able to be bought and all this stuff, right? So then you see the actual Robert Mueller and he's feeble. Right, you think he's going to be this rock of a guy, right? This He-Man, and he comes across. He can't even hear the damn questions. And then once he hears them, he doesn't understand them. And then even after he understands them, then he gives an answer that's factually incorrect, and then he has to fix it. And this happened over and over again. It happened so often. I felt sorry for Robert Mueller. I felt sorry for the Democrats. And as somebody who is, you know, really wanting for them to stay out of office, to stay as far away from power as possible because of their putrid philosophy, you would think it wouldn't be possible for me to feel sorry for them. But I felt sorry for them. They were beaten so badly and they looked so terrible. And at the end of this whole thing, then they had this little pre-planned deal happening. And Jerry Nadler, who's running this circus, the head of the Judiciary Committee, gets on and he says, and now we will hear from four more Democrats. I think it was four more Democrats. Dude, these Democrats came up and their entire job was to do nothing but give Mueller softballs that made Trump look as bad as possible. And, you know, I don't have the clips, unfortunately, but let me just tell you that Imagine that you have that there's a kid, right? And you're trying to throw him the ball as softly as possible. But the kid has no coordination, right? It just bounces off his chest and then onto the floor, right? It's like hitting him in the face, right? He can't even stop it. He can't dodge out of the way. The kid is just too uncoordinated for any sort of sports, right? That was Robert Mueller. They were handing him the softest, easiest questions, the slam dunk, even questions that somebody who had nothing to do with anything, who didn't even know anything about politics, would be able to answer. And Mueller could not answer these questions without fumbling around. It was amazing. And then at the end of it all, when they were finished asking him these terrible garbage questions, then the last Democrat comes out. I can't remember her name. And she says, basically, from what I've seen here today, your work is now done, Robert Mueller. Thank you. You did a great job. And now it's up to us here in the Congress to impeach Trump. And I'm like, oh, my God, is that what you took away from this hearing? It was obviously a pre-planned statement, because if it wasn't, if it was a true statement from the heart, you definitely wouldn't have worded it that way and that strongly. You would have made it sound as if you knew what the heck you just saw for the last 2 or 3 hours. So that was a Mueller hearing. That was Mueller time. The big thing that we had been building up to for years. And it turned out even better than you would expect. Donald Trump came out with the most trollish tweets afterwards. So when the press conference later happened, Nancy Pelosi was presiding, and she came out with this chart. I don't know how they printed it up so fast, but they had this chart that said how much money they had made from the investigation. So, you know, because they're counting the money that they are extorting from the people that they put in jail, right? So they're like, well, you know, if you don't want to be in prison forever, give us all of your money. So, right, so that's how they're paying for this. And she put the profit made from these poor bastards up on the chart, right? And then she says, and, you know, there was no collusion, we know that. But here's the important part. He was not exonerated, and she has in big letters on the side of the chart, no exoneration. And, and you had Jerry Nadler standing off on the side, just kind of looking down, you know, not really into it. And Trump posts a still of that, a GIF of that. Not a GIF, a mini video, maybe. I don't know what it was. But anyway, it's got music playing in the background, sad music. And it slowly zooms in on Jerry Nadler's face. This is the president of the United States trolling the Democrats. But, I mean, I don't blame him. He must have been gloating so hard. He must have been, like, walking on air. If the election was tomorrow, it would be a slam dunk. And I think it was hilarious. But now, here's my cautionary note. Which is that, you know, when the stock market is going to crash, when nobody believes it's going to crash anymore, when your mother is, you know, day trading, you know it's going to crash. You know the housing market is going to crash when people are just buying houses for no reason other than to sell them back. That's the danger sign. You know that market is going to crash. Get out. It's time to get out. Well, I'm a little concerned here because everyone, quote unquote, other than the media, I guess, knows that Trump is going to win. But even them, even they're running stories saying things like, yes, it looks like Trump's going to win. The Democrats need to do something. And it is true. You know, things are looking great right now. But you got to remember that all of these things move in ways, right? They go up and down. Right now, you've got Elizabeth Warren out there saying, this market is really shaky. Well, I mean, when you have people, Democrats talking like that, things are kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I have a worry that as we get closer to the election, and I've expressed this before, that the uncertainty about whether Trump is going to win or not is going to make the market waver, and then they're going to blame that on Donald Trump. Another concern that I've got is that the Trump fans are going to see that Trump is doing so well, they're going to think it's just like 2016, and they won't come out and vote. Now, I think the way around this is to try to keep the positivity so high that the business people are positive that Trump is going to win, but also give the voters a motivation to go out, besides keeping a Democrat out of office, but make it that Trump will win in such a landslide that there can be no doubt that his presidency is being looked upon favorably by the majority of Americans. In other words, try to motivate the voter to give a big middle finger to the far-left liberals, the progressives, the Democrats in general, I guess, and let them know that we like Trump as president, and try to make sure that there's no way that Trump can get screwed out of this presidency by having the greatest landslide victory ever, and get him the last thing that the Democrats have to hold on to, get him to win the popular vote by a landslide. And I think his voters would love to make that happen. And I think that all the people that voted in the last election would come out and do it again with that motivation behind them. If you can make it seem like a party where you're part of the movement, you're part of this revolution. If you missed out in 2016, you can get in on it now in 2020 and vote for Trump. And if you don't get in on it now, then you missed out and you are not part of it. You weren't really part of it to begin with. You've got to get out and vote if you want to be considered as part of the most revolutionary election in recent times. Now, I think Obama's was revolutionary because it showed that we could elect a black man president, that America was not a racist country, and he was elected twice. If there were so many racists in this country, he would have lost, and he didn't. He won. This isn't about the Democrats' model of the world where everything is racism and misogyny. It's ridiculous. This is about this is about the establishment trying to keep a man out of office that hasn't been in politics his whole life, who isn't part of one of these big political families. And he got in, even though everybody and their dog said he had no chance, he still got in. And if we can make that same feeling, and one thing that Trump is doing right is that he has been keeping his promises. Now, he's got a few more here. He's got to keep us out of war. If we go to war, his cause is going to be seriously damaged. He's got to keep us out of war. In fact, he's got to tout ending several wars, pulling back troops. If he can pull us out of Afghanistan, man, my favorite candidate, Tulsi Gabbard, I would vote for Trump and not even care about Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi won't make it anyway. But that no war stance is the only thing that I've got for Tulsi. If she can keep us out of war, she's worth it. But for Trump, if he does it, there's no reason for a Tulsi Gabbard. There's no reason for a Democrat. Everybody will love this dude. And the Democrats, the true liberals, are coming around. If you notice, the liberals are becoming Trump fans. That walk away is a real thing. The black vote, I have friends who are very kind of like pro-black, right? They're black and they're about blackness, you know? I mean, I don't know how to put it, but and they tell me that there is in the black community a little mini war or rift or whatever, and they have to hide it, a lot of them, but they are walking away from the Democrat Party and becoming Republicans. It's a real thing, or at least Trump Republicans. I don't know if they'll stick with it, but you know, he's got the door open, and if the Republicans are smart, they'll jump on that opportunity. Oh my goodness, there's so much I wanted to get to, all this SJW stuff, but you know, the time is short. I gotta go. Thanks for joining me again for another week here. This has been the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm the Ed Man. Hey everybody.